Okay, here we go. You got your seatbelts on, ready to go with the Word of God. We're going to get into Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 17. And this book is all about the preeminence of Christ. There is not a religion out there that can touch that personal relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. Same issues as it was in Colossae going back over 2,000 years ago. We still have issues with that today. We have philosophies. We have such a thing called woke, which there are issues with that, and we'll get into that in a minute. And actually, there is a verse here in chapter 3 that just completely dismantles the woke philosophy. It's fascinating, but God's word is more powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you're out there today, give it to them. Give it to them, the love of Jesus Christ. People don't want to hear hate speech. There's enough hate today. People want to hear about the love of Christ and our conviction and our concern that we have with no compromise. So with that being said, we looked at last week, beware believer. There were philosophies. There were issues creeping into the church like we see in churches today. You have people giving up and saying, why can't I just be part of this? When you compromise, you give away your faith. Again, I'll say that. If you compromise, you give away your faith. So there was problems with saint worship, angel worship. There was issues that people were having because of the Jews that were coming in. Remember, they were Jewish Christians, and they were also pagan Christians. These people came from a life of a lot of religion and also a lot of ungodliness. So what happened was is that you had people coming in and saying, look, you need to be circumcised. You know, they taught that in the pagan religions as well as in the Jewish religions. And so that was all it was, is an outward manifestation. We looked at that last week. There were also the new moon worship. That was the beginning of the month when people would start their festivities in the Jewish religion. And so when you look at religion, it's very, very big. We also said that last week there are over 10,000 quote-unquote Christian denominations in the world, and it keeps on growing because either people add on to it or they take away from the Word of God. We here at church, and I hope that you realize too, this is God's Word. We take this home. We have church at home. We have church all day long, because we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And He is the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. And so we realize that. We accepted Christ as our Savior, some of us 40, 50 years ago. Church does not get you to heaven. We had the Lord's Supper. That doesn't get you to heaven. We also, if we have a baptism, that doesn't get you to heaven. Jewish religion also taught, and pagan religions, we looked at this last week, that they believe that baptism would get you to heaven. It does not, okay? It just makes you a wet sinner going to hell. There is a real place called hell, and people don't want to hear it anymore. They're tired of hearing it, and they're saying this life is like hell for me and heaven for me. No, it's not. There is definitely a heaven, and there is a hell. A heaven to gain, and a hell to shun from. It's a very unpopular message nowadays, and people like to have their ears tickled, or make themselves, in other words, make them feel good about it. Okay? I like to hear when people say they were convicted by God's word, not from me, but by the Holy Spirit, and they walk away and they learn something. So there's four areas we're going to look at here. Number one, with our living a risen life. Now, Paul is now changing gears here, and he's saying, okay, this is what you need to manifest in your life. We're looking at the basis. It says here in chapter 3, verse 1, then you were risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So already we have what is known as what lives in us as a resurrected light is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23 says this, is love, and from love you have your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, that's your patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there's no law. There was a law that Christ fulfilled. It was called, and he had died on the cross to fulfill that law. Ten Commandments, you cannot come to God that way. It was there as a guideline. And what happened was is that people set it up where they thought they had to live by the Ten Commandments. You don't have to do that anymore. It's already been fulfilled by the cross. And that's why the cross is so paramount in our lives today. Many churches just have a cross. So what does that mean? The average kid that walks into church nowadays is oblivious. They have no idea what you're talking about. A cross? A cross is supposed to be, and you have to explain it to them. But people are so in the dark today, so ignorant today of actually what's going on. That's why we need to reveal what we believe today as being what? Lights in the world, in this very dark world, this very cursed world that we live in. So there are many ways that we can live a risen life. And I have quite a few verses here, but I don't have the time. And there was a man called Steve McQueen, a very famous a movie man. Remember him back in the 60s? Most of you do, or of that age. His pastor, Leonard DeWitt, told the reporter after he found out some months after Steve had some cancer, he only had 6 months to live. So he was the one that put out that movie Bullet and The Great Escape, and he only had 6 months to live. He had everything, as one person put it. He had the coolest cars, the most beautiful woman, worldwide fame, lots of money, and more. Steve McQueen had been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt. In fact, he was the T-shirt. But just as King Solomon Old, who also had massive wealth and fame, and the rest, he realized that out of the realization, there was nothing like emptiness. He was chasing the wind. You can have it all today, folks. You can have everything you want. Money can buy it even then more. But then if you don't have Jesus, every person here today, if you look into yourself, look into your heart, there's a void there. And that needs to be filled with Jesus Christ. Fill it today with the Lord. Fill it with his love. Be who he was. Went on to say about living a resurrected life about Steve McQueen. I'm just using him as an example. I don't use him as an idol, okay? I don't, you know, have a little statue of him at home or anything like that. No, it's like he was, as one person put it, who was a movie director, he says, after this Steve got saved, he was two different people. The early McQueen was cocky, selfish, and was willing to step over anyone to get on top. Sounds like the world today. I want to be first. Get out of my way, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, you tripped over. Well, too bad. I'm going to get ahead of you. That's sad, but it's true in human nature. It says here, the old version of McQueen was cooperative. After he got saved, he had cancer and was easygoing and a team player. It was in Steve's last moments of his life that he went ahead and he was there at the cancer center where he was being treated, and he would share Jesus Christ with people. Not many people know about that. They only look at what the man did on the movie screen. Many people today only look at, see what you and I have today. Our cars, our houses, our faces, our lifestyle. But are we living the resurrected life? And let me encourage you today, the only way you can do that is by following Jesus Christ. Let this hope of glory in Jesus be in you, the glory of the resurrected Christ. And so He died as it was, but you know, his biggest tragedy he was, as he told this reporter, if only I had more time to tell people about Jesus. But he thought it was so precious to share Jesus with the kids at the cancer clinic. So there is a basis. So verse 2, for our resurrected life. Set your mind on those things above and not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So people need to see here that we're different because of what Christ has done in us. And say, well, wait a minute, I know a Christian, and he doesn't live like God, that, not that I know of, and I wonder if he is even one too. Without the criticism, let me give you some constructive criticism. One, we all fail God. We all have those bad days. We wake up with hiccups. We wake up with days when we trip over things. But we get ourselves back up. We ask God for help. We ask him for his resurrected life. Sometimes we will have a worldly walk, and now we have a spiritual walk. We have a broad road, but we have the narrow road. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and broad leads to destruction. There are many ways to get away from God today. And you know what? They're all over the place. All you have to do is just step out these doors and just get up from your seat and walk out and say, I don't want to hear it anymore. Thank you very much. It was nice seeing you all. Have a good day. Goodbye. And that's it. But yet we need to have Christ in our life. We no longer have to live in shame. We live in victory. We no longer have to live in bondage. We are set free by the blood of Christ. Knowing the truth, and the truth will set us free. Well, once we were under God's wrath, but now we're under God's mercy and love. We were dead spiritually, but now we're made alive. Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We were going to hell, but now we're going to heaven. You have to really ask yourself, because the only one you fool is yourself, right? Am I the only one here? Yeah, you are, because you're the only one that's going to be accountable to God. Not a priest, not a pastor, not a deacon, not an elder. Nobody, there's only one person between you and God, and that's Christ Jesus that you can go for. He was made the substitute for our sins. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. So moving on here, we need to live that risen life. A lot of people get really caught up in the holidays, and then they completely forget about what the true meaning of this time of year coming up. And people are getting preparations. And I ask myself, what am I preparing for? I'm preparing to go home to be with the Lord. So, well, I got a life insurance policy that don't get me to heaven. Well, I got going to church, that don't get me to heaven. I give my tithe, that don't get me to heaven. Only Jesus Christ will get you to heaven. You got to evangelize. You got to let people know there's a difference between you and the world. And they hopefully they'll be able to see that. So we see here with number one, I'm going to have my notes here. Number one, we have the basis. Number two, there are demands on the flesh for a resurrected life in verses 5 through 11. Says, therefore, put to death. It has the idea of kill it, you know, destroy it, get rid of it. Put to death your members which are on the earth. There's a list of fornication. It has the idea of anything outside marriage, any kind of sexual misbehavior is fornication. So don't let your eyes see it. Don't let you hear it. And keep those things pure and undefiled in the bed, like it says, between a man and a woman in marriage. Got to tell it like it is. Who wants to anyway? That's offensive, right? Then we see number two. There is uncleanliness. Uncleanliness is in a moral sense. It's impurity of lustful thoughts, passions. This was used by the people either for good or bad terms. This is a bad sense. It has means to be depraved passion. All you have to do is look on the news. I don't know why men get dressed up as women and you go into libraries to teach kids. I thought that was just ridiculous, okay? Men should be men and women should be women. And that's the way it should be, right? It's nothing about politically correct or hurt my feelings or whatever. You know, I love to see some of these people who dress up as women take those clothes off, get some men's clothes on in the bathroom, be real men. What happened to the men today? I wonder. Then we see evil desires. Is desire of craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden. Well, you know, when people have an evil desire, they have to think about it after a while, and they plan, and they deviate from God's truth. So there's no excuse for that. And then we see covetousness, which is the lust of the eyes. We see that there's a greedy desire to have more and more. There's a lot of greed in our government today. The government has no accountability for the finances. Thank God there's somebody who's actually saying, hey, what's going on? Where's all our tax money going? And you know, we should, as a people, know for the people and by the people what happened to that. But there's a lot of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so people need to be, our politicians need to be held accountable for that as well. And then, of course, we have here other sins that are listed here. And pardon me. And okay, here we go. All right, verses 5 through 7. So reading that. And so going back here, it says, because of, down here, hold on a minute here. All right. So we need to put to death those desires that we have, those things that are causing us to sin. And verse 6, because of those things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So we don't have to go back to them. We don't have to live by them. There's an author called C.S. Lewis, and he put out a book called The Screwtape Letters. And this is about a head demon. It's a story about a head demon who was giving the small demon, the less important demon, advice. He says, you will say to these are very small sins, he tells his friend Screwtape. He says, and doubtless, like all young temptees, anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember the only thing is to extend to which you separate the man from the enemy, which is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're having this head demon telling this smaller demon this. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided their cumulative effort is to keep the man away from the light. Murder is no better than the cards, if cards can do the trick. He's saying, do whatever you can to keep Christians away from the truth. Keep them away from the Word of God. You know, mess things up. So indeed, the safest road to hell is a gradual one. The gentle slope, the soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without millstones, those are big stones, without signposts. And this is the advice that he had to tell his fellow demon. So, you know, it's just a very casual thing. You won't get hurt. Everything will be okay. And so, but Paul is saying to the Colossians about living a resurrected life, hey, you know what? Be careful. Watch out. You've been warned. You used to walk in them. Stay away from them. Stay away. And we know when we're close, we looked at our Sunday school lesson, we were talking about temptations. That's why Paul says to Timothy, flee from youthful lust. Those are things that you used to do when you were much younger that you got in trouble with, but yet they're so embedded in you. And of course, I got that. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. We're forgiven. But we still have that carnal nature. We're still sinners. And Paul is telling Timothy to stay away from those things that easily can trick us, deceive us, cause us problems. You know, it might be some associates. It might be things, some things in your house. It might be some things in your car. It might be your eyes, certain things that you shouldn't be looking at, or things that you're talking about. Jesus says, it's not what you say, it's your heart that's wicked. And we're all wicked sinners, saved by the grace of God. Amen? By grace through faith. So a self-righteous person will never admit it. They'll say, are you kidding me? I don't need Jesus. I'm good enough. Or I go to church. Church is good enough, but, you know, I'll do my own works. My own works. I'll work to heaven. That's okay. Thank you very much. God created us as people for two reasons. Going back to the Garden of Eden, one is to have fellowship with God, and two is to work. And, you know, it's always good to work, but you can't work your way to heaven. Every time it seems like you try to work your way close to heaven, the further you get behind. You know, as the old saying goes, the further ahead I get, the further I get behind, right? So you need to go ahead and stop and say, you know what? I need Jesus. I got to stop fooling myself. It's causing me to have heart problems. It's causing me with stress. It's killing me. And a lot of people are killing themselves and they're going right to hell. Oh, don't say that word. You know what? You need to tell it because it's for real. Jesus warned about hell. Why do you think he warned people about it? You know, why shouldn't we warn people about it today? Because God loves us. And that is why he died on the cross. If everything was okay, why have a crucifixion, right? It makes no sense, okay? You can be a philosopher and explain everything away. And we looked at that last week. Philosophy is like you're just starting one stand in front of your house at your front door and walk around. You come right back to you were again. It's man's way trying to work his way up to understanding God. Without God working his way down to mankind, explaining it to him through his word, but yet people don't want to hear it because, well, be frankful, I'm good enough. Thank you. So, Paul goes on to say, he says, but now for yourselves, you need to put away some things here. You put away your anger, which is the idea of an impulse, desire to be violent with an emotional outburst eventually. Starts off with disagreement and just builds up to murder after a while. And then there's wrath. He's saying with these social sins, it gets to the point there where you need to subside with that. And that has the idea of an outburst. Physically getting that way. Malice is speaking ill will of innocent people. You know, you get people with that today in our universities and colleges. They go around beating up on people because I believe in Palestine liberation here. You remember that went back in Yasser Arafat back in Time magazine back in the 60s when he was the man of the year. That was a big farce because all he was just using that for his own self-aggrandizement. He went ahead, and of course, he hated Israel. You need to pray for Israel. And I think it's going to be taking a lot more than defunding the colleges and universities out there. I really do. I think these people are up to their tricks and deception, and they're going to do everything they can to push their agenda. And you know, you're watching prophecy in the news today. There's going to be more harassment against the United States, what we believe in, and also for Israel. And then there's blasphemy that has the idea of speaking evil about something which is good and divine and majestic. And, you know, even gets to the point where those people say, I don't want to hear God, you know, blankety blank God. And you know what happens is that that's the unpardonable sin. That is the only sin that's not pardonable in the Bible, because if you reject God's Spirit, you walk away, you come into the church, you listen to God's Word on the radio, or You know, you witness to somebody and they say, I don't want to hear this blankety blank anything you have to say. Pray for them. By the grace of God, so are we, right? But I tell you what, it gets to the point where God's saying, okay, you want that? I'll give you what you want. You want it so bad that God will allow you to harden your own heart. Your own heart, because you don't want to hear him. Nothing to do with it. You're without excuse. That's why I think when the great white throne judgment, I think there'll be a lot of angry people. What do you mean my name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Look at all I did. I was such a good person. My good works outdid my bad works. God's saying, I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. And I think hell's going to be full of a lot of angry people because they deceived themselves. They became self-righteous. They walked in their own ways. They were wise in their own eyes. And there's more hope for a fool than one who is like that. So there is filthy language. And, of course, I don't need to mention anything about that. And then, of course, there is lying. And, of course, lying is all that is just covering up the truth. Why do you want to lie to people? Why do you want to cover up the truth? You know what? The truth is so much better. It makes you feel so much better. You know, people won't get in trouble if they just tell the truth. So it's going to hurt my pride. So what? Who cares? God cares. And he cares about you. And he wants us to clean up our act or our lives. Probably a better word to use. So he goes on to say here, about demands that we need to crucify the flesh. He goes on and says here, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. And he has the idea of a baptismal term. Some people take this out of context. It used to be back in the day when people would go for a baptism service, and baptism is not regeneration. It does not save you. Anybody can go get ridiculous. Why waste your time getting baptized? You know what I mean? Okay? You're just going to be a wet sinner, right? So people used to do back in the day, they'd bring their old raunchy clothes to baptism services back in the day, and they'd get dumped, okay? And when they come up out of the water, the preacher would come out of the water, and the guy and the lady would take off their dirty clothes, and they would have new clothes on, and they'd come walking out. And say, see me now, I'm a new person, right? Who are you kidding? Are you going to kid yourself? Or are you going to kid God? Oh, I don't think so. You're not going to fool the people out there, maybe most of the time, okay? But you're only kidding yourself. It says, put off the old man, his deeds, put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. He created him. Hey, look, we came from dust, we go back to dust, right? Who are we kidding, right? God loves us. We're more than just dust. He came, he became a person to die for us because we're sinners. Simple as that. And I love this one other verse here about putting on new clothing, which is the third part. There is neither Greek nor Jew. Now, this is what dismantles woke. Okay? This is what dismantles diversity, inclusion, equity. Okay? This is what the politicians are fighting the battle on between these judges and people fighting back and forth, okay, with our judicial system. There is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Amen? The woke says this, the white man is the problem. And guess what? He's the problem of all our issues. We need to go ahead and have some equity. Equity has the idea with this diversity inclusion. It's a slick name because people get confused with that. It means that we'll be equal. Okay? Well, God did make us all equal, but this equity has the idea what you have, I'll give it to somebody else. It's a form of communism. All wrapped up in a neat, sweet, smelling, good package. Nothing's ever going to be stinky, is it? Coming from the devil, he wants to make it look good. There's all kinds of arguments from the Word of God that disclose what woke is. And they're having issues with it today. You have so many people lying today. Why? Because it's a farce. It's wrong. It is a lie, this woke ideology. And yet they're going to keep on pressing it and pressing it in our schools. They've done it in our government. People are so confused. It has the whole idea it's communism wrapped up in a different package. That's the bottom line. After all the confetti and all the balloons fail and all the screamers and the poppers stop, it's still a lie. And it's still causing people confusion. And they need Jesus Christ. Okay? It's a philosophy. This verse, verse 11, it's a great verse to share with people. Because the white man, okay, is not the problem. Okay? And they change history, woke does. They change everything and they threaten people. They use it as a weapon. You don't believe in this? We'll fire you from your job. I remember that. People here told me about that. I don't blame them. They were afraid. Look, I got a house payments. I got a wife to take care of. I got kids. These people were evil. Evil as evil is. And as Christians, we've got to stand up to it. I think we're all born fighters, aren't we? Verse 12 going on here in Colossians chapter 3. So, living a risen life. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, put on the tender mercies with kindness, which is the opposite of being mean. Of course, the mercies is opposite is judgment. Humility, which is the opposite of is pride. Gentleness, which is the opposite of that, is violence. Look at all the violence today. People are using that trying to manipulate you, trying to scare you. Okay? So, you know, hey, some of the students I've watched on these programs are like, man, I'm afraid for my life. I can't even go to class because this mob mentality is coming after me. What do? I have no support from the administration. So I'll just go home. Probably that's the safest place to be. Okay? Don't go out and get a gun and try to shoot somebody. That never solved anything. Get yourself in jail for the rest of your life. Guns are not, I think guns are good for going hunting, okay? It's good because you kill what? To eat for your family. There's a purpose for guns. Then there's patience, there's impatience, there's forbearance. We need to put on that garment of forbearance. So what does that mean? It means you're a good listener. You're a good listener. You know, I've had enough people shut me off mentally because they don't want to hear what I have to say. You ever run somebody like that who's just like, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Thank you very much. Okay, and they interrupt you and they go on talking about something else. Very rude. And yet, you know what? They're missing out because they're not good listeners. And it kind of stupefies a person after a while. Didn't you hear what I had to say? You can't hear if you've got a hearing problem. You need to ask. See, I didn't hear too well. Or get what? Hearing aids, right? But they're forbearance. We need to listen. Forgiveness as Christ forgave us in these verses. Oh, man, that's where I stop. I'm like, my goodness, Lord, you forgave me. Of course I'm going to forgive this person and everything. Okay, that person offended me. That person stole from me. That person ruined my reputation by speaking bad things about me. Doesn't even give me a break. You know what? Christ forgave that person. You need to forgive him, right? And the garment of love, which is the opposite is hate. Why people hate nowadays so much? Because they can't have what they want. They're like a little kid in the candy store. I remember as a little kid, and I loved going to the five and dime stores. And only once I did, I had a temper tantrum. I went like this, like that. And my mother looked at me. She gave me that look. She goes, oh, she is, you're going to get it. I tested her. Boy, my rear end was sore because I went ahead and I wanted to test her. Never do it again. So, you know, what God is saying here is that we need to get under control of the Holy Spirit. And it says here in verse 14, above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, our maturity. If we're growing in love, we're growing up. Okay, we're learning. We're learning from one another. We learn from each other's mistakes. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body. Be thankful. We live in a very thankless society. I meet people all the time, and I have met people in the past, and you have got everything under the sun, got whatever they wanted, and yet they're still empty, like a Steve McQueen. You know, it's got everything they need, but yet they're still wanting more and more. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in the grace of your hearts to the Lord. You know, another way of having a risen life, I did some word studies, and I never knew this before. And the beauty of it all, the wonder of it all. Do you realize that God the Father sings in heaven? Listen to me. It says, according to Zechariah 3:17, God the Father, the Lord your God, in your midst, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine that? God the Father will be singing in heaven. Oh, we ain't seen nothing yet. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get to heaven. That's in Zephaniah. Don't get confused, Zechariah or something. Zephaniah 3:17. Another one that I have been guilty and skipping about is that God the Son sings. Jesus sings too. You know that? I bet you a lot of you didn't. I didn't know that either. It says here in Matthew 26:30, you know how we do the Lord's Supper? Listen, and that after he and his disciples had sung a hymn, we missed that part. A lot of us do. We didn't know Jesus sang with his disciples. We just think about, oh, they just sat around, they sung a hymn, and praise God, all through all blessings flow, and that's the end of it. Sometimes, and that's one of my weaknesses, I tell people when I'm weak in an area, because I'm not ashamed. I'm human like the rest of you. But it's like Jesus sung too. And then, of course, the sweet Holy Spirit dwells within us. That's the third part of the Godhead. And by the way, that was Matthew 26:30 for the Son. Those who are taking notes. But how does the Holy Spirit sing? He sings through his church. Oh, now I know why there's so much joy here. I can't stamp it out. I can't put it out. It's like a fire that keeps on coming back up. He sings through his church, Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. Oh my, you know, it's such a beautiful relationship with the Lord. If we just get to know him better, if we start just living more of a resurrected life. And it says here in the heart of a new life, my fourth point. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I don't know if we have baseball fans here. The very first black baseball player, and no, I'm not a racist, and that's another one of those foolish, ridiculous, woke ideologies. If somebody comes to you and screams in your face, you're a racist? No. Sorry. Not. I hate to disappoint you. Yes, you are. And they get in your face and they think you're... No. I believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't a racist. Then you can... Technically, you can demark. You can take them apart little by little, verbally, until they're nothing through the Holy Spirit. You can do that with people. People talk down to you. Keep very calm. Keep very calm. Collect. Never raise your voice. Never get angry. Okay. And like, I don't have time to get on that, but I'm sure we met some bad people in our day. Jackie Robinson was the first black to play Major League Baseball. While breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. Can you imagine that, being a great baseball player because you're black? Okay. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. His own fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered. The storage shop, his name was Pee Wee Reese, came over and stood next to him. Out of everybody in the team, everybody else just stood around. You know, when somebody's being beat up verbally, sometimes it's good to go up and say, you know what, I'm going to stand with you. You have no right. Leave this person alone. We need more people that will stand up. We need more people in the church to stand up for Jesus. He's taken already enough, but no, that's not enough. We got to knock him down, criticize him. Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. Fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. Have we done that today? Have we done that recently? Is this verbally put our arm around somebody and say, you know what, I'm with you. I love you. I support you. I'm with you. Or are you that other crowd? Well, guess what so-and-so did? Those kinds of people, they will get what goes around comes around. Gossips are never a good thing. Jesus had to deal with them. But if we want to live a resurrected life, okay, we need to take the Lord seriously. And people will see that. As you heard this old adage, the proof's in the pudding. Yeah, my mom used to make some really good chocolate pudding, okay? And she just made better than anybody else. But it was in those ingredients in that pudding that made all the difference. And I remember hurrying up and eating my meal as quick as I could. I could smell that pudding. Oh, boy, that chocolate pudding. Okay. God needs to see that in our lives today. Just, oh, man, taste and see if the Lord's good. We got to close in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for all your love, your blessings, your kindness, your goodness, your mercy. We could just go on and on. If we had a ladder, we could never climb as high as you are. And we need to come down off our ladder and humble ourselves before you and ask you for your forgiveness. And whatever there is today, my friend, God loves you, and whatever there is today online, whoever you are, whoever listens to this message down the road, God loves you, and he gave his very best. His name's Jesus Christ, and he went to the deepest parts of our hearts, and he took that, and he became that sin. If you're a murderer, God became a murderer for you. It became a gossip. God became a gossip for you. God became sin. And he cried out on the cross that one fateful afternoon. He said, it is finished. Because he remembered also that while he was in the garden, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He understood. And he gave up his life when he was ready. No one took it from him. If you're sitting there and you're wondering and you're puzzled and you just don't know, remember, he knows. Either you do or you don't. There are no in-betweens with God. There is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun from. You know, anybody in the right mind would choose heaven, but it's getting there that counts. You got to believe by faith. He's done everything. You don't have to work your way there. He did everything that you could possibly ask or think. He's done that. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe in faith what he has done and ask him to change your life. The only way you can confess Jesus as Lord and Savior as your life is to believe it first. Then you confess. Then you believe. It's not the easy believism that is out in the world today. Oh yeah, the universal, for God so loved the world. Anybody can come to know God. No, my friend, you got to come through Jesus, come His way according to the Word of God. That's what people don't want, and I pray that that's not you today. You're listening online or never heard the gospel preached. It's the good news. It's the good news that God died for us, for your sins, my sins. But you have to come to Him, not a priest, not a pastor, not an elder, not a deacon, not your best friend, not purgatory. After you die, then people say a bunch of prayers, not your tithes, not your offerings, not your baptism, not your Lord's Supper. Religion is such a hellish thing. Relationship is everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.